Scripture reading today is Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. If you would like to follow along, that's on page 487 in the Pew Bibles. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Father, we heard your word, and as we quiet ourselves before you, we pray that you would take the racing thoughts in our minds and the things that we are distracted by and put them to the side as we focus on you, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would move mightily in our hearts, that we would not be thinking about the person next to us or in front of us, but that we would look at ourselves. We know that you love us and are at work in our lives. So we pray that as the word is preached, that you would move in us, draw us close to you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some phrases that are so common that I don't even need to end. For example, a penny for your actions speak louder than you're barking up the wrong tree. Our Father, thou art in
heaven.
Good. Heaven, that's where our attention is going to be brought this morning, because that's where our text leads us. Isaiah sees God in heaven. And what I'm going to talk about today is something that's simple when you think about it, but yet at the same time complex. And that's this: a glimpse of God. When you see God by looking up, it will lead you to see yourself first properly. When you look up, you will see yourself properly, and you will also see your world more clearly. Let's start with the scriptures. Look back at your Bibles with me. The first three verses, we see Isaiah is experiencing something. And what does he experience? The first thing is this: he sees the Lord on his throne. The Lord is on his throne. Who is on the throne? The Lord, God. God Almighty. And where is he sitting? On a throne. Now, who sits on thrones? Kings. Kings are on thrones. But we read in the Bible that this was during the year of King Uzziah. There's an earthly king. There are earthly presidents. There are earthly authorities. But there's one that sits higher than those earthly authorities, and that's God himself. And this is who Isaiah sees on this day. He sees God, the king, the true king, that has the final say, that should have the first say, that every earthly king should look to for guidance. Unfortunately, that is not always the case. We also see he looks around and he sees these seraphim flying. And that's what Anne was talking to the children about today. These were angels, angels that were covering their eyes. You know, the word seraphim literally means burning ones. Burning ones. It's because they seem to be on fire. They're glowing. But the question is are they on fire, or are they just reflecting the true glory of God? And it's not the angels themselves that are on fire. It's the reflection of God himself. You see, they're not the source. They're reflecting the source. They were a mirror, in a sense, reflecting the glory of God. The burning ones. And this is what Isaiah sees. This is what he experiences. Now, what does he hear? Not only does he see things, he hears things. And what does he hear? Over and over again. You see it? Holy, holy, holy. Now, there's a lot that we can learn about these words. This is a Hebrew term. It's a Hebrew superlative. It's emphasizing something. What is it emphasizing? Well, I have this little whiteboard over here. I'm going to set it up for a second, if that's okay. I hope you can all see that back there. No. Sorry. Holy, holy, holy. Isn't it enough just to say it one time? Holy, or twice? Holy, holy. But no, we find it repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. This is the essence of who God is. Yes, God is love. God is mercy. But this is the only time in Scripture where something like this is found. Holy, holy, holy. This is the essence of God. And in Hebrew, this is the way of emphasizing something. Simply by repetition. We do it differently today. So, for example, if you see a note from mom or dad when you walk in the house that says, do not touch the stove, there's certain ways we can emphasize that, right? We can put an exclamation point. Do not touch the stove. We can also underline. Do not touch the stove. We can also circle. And at that point, if you don't get the point, you're going to get burned. Right? But you see how this all adds emphasis. Do not touch the stove. Because if you do, something bad's going to happen to your hand. Do not touch the stove. This is how we emphasize things today. This is how the Hebrews emphasize things in the Bible. So just a little hint, if you're ever reading the Bible and you find words being repeated over and over again, that's because they're saying, that's really, really important. Pay attention to this. Okay? So when you see this in the Bible, in our case, holy, 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 repeated three times, that means that God is not like us. Yes, the Bible says we're created in His image, but we're not holy like God. In fact, that word holy means separate, just to be separate, which is kind of odd when you think about it. Holiness means separate? Yeah, because God is altogether separate. He's holy. God cannot be in the presence of sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that's what Isaiah keeps on hearing from these angels. This is the one theme of heaven. Now the question for us is, as Christians, we are called to be holy. The book of Peter says, be holy as he is holy. So are we reflecting on earth what is in heaven? It's something we pray every week. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're Christians, there should be a sense of holiness to us. We should be becoming more Christ-like every day, every week, every month, every year. And you and I have known people like this, where you've just said, you know what, they're like a living saint. They just reflect the glory of God. They just love Jesus. Whatever word or phrase you want to use, that's because they get it. They're walking with Jesus. They're reflecting on earth what it's like in heaven. They're godly people. And this is what our homes should look like. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives. This is what our homes should look like. This is our goal, our workplace, our hobbies. And this is what's happening in the life of Isaiah. Not only does he see these things, not only does he hear these things, he's there experiencing them. And this is what happens when you and I experience God. We can go to church our entire life, from the time we're little all the way through our lives, but never truly experience God. But when you do experience him and he changes you, something happens inside of your life. Your goal then becomes to be more like Jesus. Now, we just looked at the heavens. Now let's check in and observe Isaiah. Let's look at his response after seeing the glory of God in verses 4 and 5. Isaiah's first response after seeing God, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The first thing that we see, and I mentioned this last week briefly, is Isaiah, after seeing God clearly, acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges his sin. Here's what John Calvin said, the great reformer. He said this, true wisdom consists in two things, knowledge of God and knowledge of self. Let me say that again. True wisdom consists in two things, knowledge of God and knowledge of self. But notice, one has to happen before the next. You can't know yourself, and you cannot see the world clearly until you first understand who God is. This is something that happens all throughout Scripture. Luke chapter 5. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they even began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a reaction. Instead of, let me slap your hand and give you a high five, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, what? I am a sinful man, O Lord. Does that remind you of anything? That's exactly Isaiah's response. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why? Because when you experience God, the first thing you're going to realize, woe is I. Woe is I. Now, Isaiah gets specific. He gets very specific. It was his mouth that needed cleansed. Do you notice that? The angel takes the coal and he touches his mouth. His words. His words. You and I sin a lot just in our mouth. The things we say. When we're angry, a lot of times we let loose and we give the best speech we'll ever regret. Listen to what Proverbs says. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And for some odd reason, we don't know Isaiah, but we know that that was the first thing that God cleansed was his mouth. Perhaps that's because the reason was he was going to be standing up and preaching. But that's the first thing that God dealt with, his mouth, his lips. Now, not only does he acknowledge his sin, but we learn another thing. The other thing that Isaiah sees now is not only is his own sinfulness, but he sees this. I live among a people of unclean lips. How interesting. Isaiah not only sees himself clearly now, but he's able to see the world around him clearly now. And isn't that what happens with us? You know, the Bible refers to salvation a lot of times as having your eyes opened. And this is what happens in our lives. This is what happened in Isaiah's life. His eyes were open. He can see the world around him clearly. He doesn't see things the way he always used to see them. He doesn't see eye to eye with all of his friends anymore. He starts to see the world differently. All of a sudden, he watches the news and goes, I used to agree with that, but today I don't. Why? Because my eyes were opened. Now watch this. Proverbs says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to death. There is a way that what? Seems right to a man. That's right. Seems right to a man. That means that people are walking around thinking, believing, and acting in a way that seems right to them. But just because something seems right does not mean that it's right. And the first thing that we need to do when considering decisions is not look around, but look up. Because there is a way that seems right to man, but that way leads to death. And now Isaiah was able to see clearly himself and clearly the world around him and make right decisions. Here's what A.W. Tozer said. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most important fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. We tend by secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. This is true not only of the individual Christian, but of the company of Christians that compose the church. Always the most revealing thing about the church is her idea about God. If we lose the sense of holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we're in trouble. And I'm here to tell you, the church has lost the idea of holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The church, not this church, the church in general, rather thinks of God as Santa Claus, their good buddy and good pal, that just shows up every once in a while and is happy with everything that we do. But I'm here to tell you, when you look down at your Bible, that is not the picture of who God is. The clearest picture of God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now, The challenge for us as the church is, where are we going to stand in times of trouble? Where are we going to stand in times when the world is changing around us and we see God clearly and we see the world around us clearly? Where do we stand? Where do you stand? And that's about one word, and that's conviction. You have to be men and women of conviction to keep God first. And we're going to pick up part two of this next week, because there's another part of this that's extremely important in Isaiah's life. But if you read the rest of Isaiah, his calling was not an easy one. And this was going to be something that he had to stand firm on the rest of his ministry, because the rest of his ministry was not always great. It was not always easy. But this was the foundation for him, and this is your foundation. So as we pray and close this morning, I want you to think about where you are with your relationship with God. Think about your own life. How do you see God? What adjustments do you need to make in your life to follow after God? I believe that God is working in your lives. I believe that if you're here, you want to seek after God. And he's not done with you yet. So if you feel uncomfortable, I say good, because the Spirit is at work in your life, and he's drawing you closer to him. And part of his job is to make you uncomfortable. But don't fear, because that means he loves you and he's working in you. Let's pray. Father God, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, sometimes it's terrifying to think of your holiness, to think that you are completely sinless. But, oh God, because of your great love, because of Jesus, we can run to you as a son to a father. Help us never to forget that. Strengthen us. And all week, Lord, call us back to you. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Now let's stand and sing together hymn number 633, Open Our Eyes, Lord.